Bible says, Ephesians chapter 5, reading verses 22 to 33. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And all the women said? I like that. There's power in that. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Can I get a witness on that, man? There you go. So also, I'm sorry, gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. That's a pretty good picture, isn't it, ladies? For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is the profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you are mighty and awesome, and that you do call us out of darkness into light, and that you meet us in this place, and that you fashion us, Lord, for something new, that you would indeed do miracles in us and through us. Do a miracle in us today, Lord. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, we had a change of service this morning. I was not supposed to read this. In fact, I wasn't even going to be up here at all yet, because Pastor Scott was going to read this. And we set up this magnificent plan of surprise and blessings last Sunday, because Lisa was intended to teach today, but we had to find a way that she would be up here so that Scott could recognize his wonderful wife on their 20th anniversary. And because he's homesick, he could not do that. But the plan was, Lisa, that it would come and he would bend a knee. Aww. And he would take you up to the altar, and that you would indeed renew your vows. Aww. See, now, man, it would have been so much better if he did that. I told him, man, I told him, we'll hit number 25. And he went, oh, I feel so bad. 5 years, and we'll do that. Although, I was thinking, because you got to do it on the big years. My wife and I, in 3 weeks, have been married for 23 years. And so Pastor Scott was going to talk about his marriage. So I'm going to talk about mine, because it's the best. It's the marriage I know the most about. And I met my wife about 25 years ago in a church that was about 3,000, 4,000 people. And I met her one day and I thought, who is this person? Little did I know that she was the person that God had selected for me to unite with and become something brand new. Paul writes, he says, a man and a woman would be united with his wife and they would become one flesh. They would become something new. That union is intended to bring forth children, and that they would be raised up in the fear and the admonition of our Lord. My wife, a little applause for our... You listen to the tape, huh? And so... I see my two fine children right here, and I see the two God A boys right there, and there is a culmination or a fruit that comes when God would do something new. Amen? Now, Paul uses the illustration of marriage to describe what actually happens between Christ and the church. And as nice and wonderful as it was, because Pastor Scott did indeed approach me with that last week, Lisa, and said, hey, is there any way we can work this in? And so this morning at 7:44, I got a text that said, I'm sick. We shall continue on, because we are not actually going to talk about marriage this morning, but we're going to talk about the church. We are in a series called Selected to Soar. And we have taken a look at soaring in the Word, which is a lamp unto our feet. And we talked about soaring in worship last week, where we indeed lift the Lord high up in our lives that He might guide and direct us. Amen? Now, He calls us together, and I'm going to use some Greek words today. The first is ekklesia. I don't normally use Greek, and I don't normally use Hebrew. I read them both, but I don't use them because I figure English you guys got a better handle on. Amen? But when I say church, you guys all have an idea. But when I say ekklesia, you probably don't have anything there. It's just a blank slate. So I'm going to write out that slate today. The word ekklesia is a Greek word from where we get our word church. And we read today that Jesus will make something new. That He will do something new, and He's going to do it in the ekklesia. Paul describes the joining of a man and a woman, but he says that the church, the ekklesia, Jesus is the head. And that we grow up into our fullness of Christ, we grow into our fullness of life, and God would do something new and miraculous in our midst as we come together as the ekklesia. Tracking with me? How many of you are going, don't use Greek today? It's got two words today, just two. And I haven't used, I don't think, any Greek in a year, so this will be my yearly quota, two words. Second word is koinonia. Koinonia is where we get fellowship, God's people coming together to do God's plan, all right? The church comes together, and as we join together to do what God would have for us, we have koinonia, can be translated participate, can be translated fellowship. So today we're going to take a look at ekklesia, and we're going to take a look at koinonia, and we're going to take a look at soaring together. Okay? You can have words with Pastor Scott. It was going to be so great. Now I got to wait 5 years. But you can also pray for him that he would indeed get well. All right, here we go. The people are the place. The people are the place of God. The people comprise the church, the ekklesia. All right? Matthew 16, 15 through 18. Talking about the declaration of Paul, Peter to Jesus. What about you? He asked. Jesus asked. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I want to let you know this morning that it is indeed Jesus who is building the church. Amen? It is Jesus who holds this building together, and it is Jesus who calls us into assembly today. We are lacking. Pastor Paul and Ann are out of town. Roki and Julie are out of town. All kinds of people are gone. But we are indeed the ekklesia. We are called out. Jesus builds the ekklesia on the foundation, on a firm foundation, which comes from the declaration of Peter, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is not something that Peter came up with, thought it would be a great idea, said, hey, the Christ, the Messiah, why don't you be him? No. Jesus says that this is a revelation, that in essence, God took that fact and opened it to Peter's eyes. And what Peter did was go, oh, he says, this revelation came from God. This revelation came from heaven. It wasn't anything in Peter that made this occur. It was indeed what Jesus does to you and Jesus does to me. In the same way, I went, who is this girl? The Lord puts an opportunity for you to say, who is this man? Jesus, Son of the living God. He is the Christ. Amen? Everything changes when that happens in your life. Things begin to grow. Things begin to change. God begins to build his ecclesia, which is a supernatural structure that is built upon a supernatural revelation. That this supernatural understanding of God enables Jesus to do something supernatural in your life. Now, if you live in this community, how many of you live in this community? Right here, Jesus says that the church will push back the gates of hell. Anybody see the gates of hell this week? Yeah. Anybody else? You say, oh, yeah, I saw some nasty stuff, right? And what happens is that Jesus does this supernatural thing and that we can indeed push back that evil. Push back the evil in the schools. Push back the evil in our homes. That we can declare victory, that we can grab on to the power of God and the presence of God as we join for his purpose. Amen? So that we as a church, we, if we are indeed working the plan of God, garner the interest of the devil. And there are those that would just give up and surrender on that. But Jesus says you don't have to. Now, maybe you come in here today and you don't have a problem with the gates of hell. This is a message for you. Because realistically, this is probably not a place for you. You want this to be, you want to enter into the ecclesia. It is for people who come to an understanding, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are my boss. Because when he's building the church, he gets to determine what happens inside. Amen? 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 See, this is his blessing. He said, you know what? My house is going to be a house of prayer. Guess what this is? It's a house of prayer. Yes. Men's breakfast happens, but you're in men's breakfast. Yes. Amen? We give out food. Pray when we give out food. We do all kinds of stuff. Jesus sets our agenda. Amen? That's right. Amen. All right. Three characteristics of the church, and I'll show them to you right there. He said, instead, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Three characteristics of the church. One thing, the church has to pay attention to me when I'm preaching. Front row to back row. Amen? Amen? All right. Church is a place to connect. Church is a place to grow. The church is a place to work. God will take you out of that heinous environment that's out there. And it can be pretty bad. Anybody got internet? I'll tell you what, man. I mean, just sitting there looking at nothing. All of a sudden, kabam! Whoa! Yeah. The church is a place to connect where you're not or you should not be assailed by the foulness of this culture. That there should be a place of support because you're out there, people with hurts, habits, and hang-ups, they want to get their own. Amen? I'm just worried about me. And you come into this place being ripped off from place after place after place, and the Lord would build his ecclesia is a place where you can be built up and find some relationships that will support you and enable you to move on to better things. Amen? Church is a place to grow. The church grows and you grow as an individual. That you can look at your life and you can look back down the line and say, whoa, I used to be so different. Anybody around here just look back a year? Some of you look back 2 months. Remember Leo, first time he walked in here, man, he wasn't smiling. Now all he does is smile all the time. God will do a miracle in you, and you as individuals will grow. Those kids downstairs, they're growing. And as we grow, the church grows. Amen? So the church is a place to connect where I can get supported. I can grow. I can get better. And it's a place to work. And you say, oh, no, I did not show up here to work today. I came here to sit down, air conditioning, listen to you preach, get George to get me some lunch and get out of here. That's not the plan of God. Church is a place to work. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are. All right. If you are a we, hand up. We. All humans in the building. We are. If you know Christ. You say, if you come to that point where it said, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God, talking to you. We are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do, say it, good works. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. When did God make these things for us to do? A long time ago. Something for you and me to do. The church is a place for you to be trained and equipped so that you can do good things for Jesus. I don't know, I think I talked about Tommy last week, but Tommy and Aaron, come on up here. They are in the bald head club. But they got the bow ties. Now look at this, man. They are looking good, amen? Part of their job is just to come in here and beautify this place with themselves. But they also worship. They are our percussion men. They are doing good things. Amen? Amen. See, now, look at that person next to you and say, you are intended to do good things. God has good works for you to do that he prepared a long time. It's like a honey-do list from God. All righty. I talked to you guys last week. I think I talked to you guys last week about the upgrade in the worship software. And, in fact, Danny and Matt have expressed interest in running that software back there. A little round of applause. And, you know, it's got all kinds of stuff. Hopefully soon we will be experiencing that. But three main programs that to choose from, that we could choose from, that are touted as the best. And so I looked at them, and I looked at the best one. And I said, oh, man. This is good. Loaded it up back there, started running it. And I went, oh, no, doesn't do enough. So I picked number two, and I'm, oh, now this is good. And I started running it, and I started loading some songs up. And then I looked at number three, and I thought number three was just a little bit too much, you know, initially, because it does so much. But I found that which it does, we need it to do. So I loaded program number three, which is called ProPresenter 6. Downloaded it, started running it. I'm going, oh, yeah, this is good. This is good. This is right. I had to upgrade. I got to get a new PowerPoint. It's come in the mail. I got a temporary PowerPoint that I'm running. Oh, yeah, it's good. And then I'm noticing the computer. I'm start running it, and the computer's just like slow. So I got the new capacity and gonna upgrade the computer. Realize I gotta upgrade the Windows. Might have to upgrade. I'm upgrading the video, upgrading the audio. And so we wanna run this stuff. We've basically gotta upgrade everything. Are you tracking with me? And here's the thing. If you are going to work the plan of God, God has to work an upgrade in you. So we come to the Lord figuring, oh, God's job is to make me better. Yeah. He wants you to do better, so he's going to make you be better. He wants you to do something, so he's going to make you be something. Amen? Amen? So for you to accomplish God's plan, he's going to do a project in you to improve you so you can do better things for him. Are you ready? Amen. See, he's the boss. We come here, God's people, in God's plan, and we get God's presence. That's a good deal. Amen? God's people working God's plan get God's presence. That's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets on this planet. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
All right, here we go. Here we go. God's people come together in fellowship. This is that koinonia. Koinonia. There will be a test at the end, especially if you are in seventh grade or lower. All righty. Number one, fellowship has many flavors. Fellowship has many flavors. And so, Luke chapter 5, verse 10. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. I want to pull out this partners, because that's koinoneers, right? We talk about koinonia. They were the partners. We talk about participating in or having fellowship in. So he's talking to Simon Peter. He said, Simon Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to catch men. And so they had a koinonia. They were koinoneers. They were a group that revolved around catching fish. Okay? So what I mean is fellowship or koinonia has many different flavors. There's guys, my grandpa got together for years. Four guys, I think every Thursday, they went out and they played golf. That was their koinonia. Jesus is talking to Simon Peter, and he's probably talking to Andrew, his brother, and he's talking to James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and they say, you know what, guys, I want to break down your fellowship, but what I want to do is I want to put a new focus on it. I want to put a new target on it. Because what you guys have been doing is fishing for fish. But if you follow me, I'm going to have you start fishing for men. That's an upgrade. Can I get a witness on that? A whole lot harder to catch men than it is to catch fish. Now, Jesus is the head of the church. And he gets to set the focus of the church. Amen? I mean, he's the boss, right? My question for you today, is it okay if he resets your focus? Or you're like, man, I got my own focus. God, quit bugging me. Man, I don't want to do that. Pastor's always talking about teaching. Pastor's always asking me to clean up. You know, it says, he gave me, my job is to prepare you to do those works of service. That's what I do, man. It's like God says he's supposed to do this. She's supposed to do that. And I just give you the opportunity. You get to say no. You don't have to be in God's koinonia. See, you become part of God's people. Jesus is talking to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And he opens up the door to the supernatural. And when you step through that door, you necessarily will have to change. The question is how open to that are you? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to be transformed? James and John had to leave their father. There'll be changes. There'll be sacrifice. Jesus is the head of it all. He hung on a cross and died. He sets the standard. When it comes to koinonia. Big question is, do you follow today? Are you doing your own thing? Because you can. All right. God's fellowship has limitations. God's fellowship has restrictions. Koinonia, God's way. If we claim to have fellowship, koinonia, with Him, God, yet walk in darkness, we lie. You know, there's a lot of liars out there. Yeah, you think? Anybody get lied to this week? Anybody lie this week? Yeah, you can lie to God right here. See, God's fellowship, God's koinonia has limitations. You can't walk in darkness. And some people like it. Again, I'll say this probably is not the place for you. Yeah. There's things that'll destroy God's koinonia. Sin. Call it here walking in darkness. It'll destroy your koinonia. People of God working the plan of God experience the presence of God. The people of God working something else The people of God sprinkling something else other than the plan of God miss out on experiencing the presence of God. So the people of God can get together and do all kinds of stuff. People of God can get together and play golf. But if there's not a focus on the plan of God in the midst of that, don't expect Jesus to show up and help you with your shot. Thank you for that. If you are going to work God's plan, there are restrictions. He says, no, but 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, Paul writing to the church in Corinth. No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to koinonia, to fellowship, to participate with demons. That's a pretty easy one. Amen? 1 Timothy 5:22. Do not be hasty in laying on of hands. Do not share in the sins of others. There's that koinonia. Participate in, share in the sins of others. People of God work in their own plan or on their own. People of God come together and work God's plan. We can rely and rest on the fact that He's going to be there. Amen? Amen. I'll tell you what, and I know many of you realize this. I came to the realization when I was 29 years old that I wasn't doing a great job of running it on my own. Amen? And so I came to that point where I said, God, I'm turning it all over to you. Maybe today's the day that you can, but maybe today's not the day. I don't want that. Probably not the place for you. It says you're going to show up. You got to be pure. And I'm not talking about perfection, but I'm talking about being genuine. Because perfection is going to happen when Jesus shows up. Amen? When perfection appears, man, He will walk among us and we will be made perfect. Until then, He's okay with you not being perfect, but He wants you to be genuine. He wants you showing up, trying to work it out. Amen? I mean, I'll tell you what, I came to the Lord, I was so messed up, I didn't even know how messed up I was. Anybody relate to that? And the closer I got to the Lord, the more I realized what needed to be transformed, and the more I lifted Him up and made those changes in my life. Can I get a witness? That can happen in your life. Jesus shows up, the perfect comes. When the people of God work the plan of God, that's when Jesus shows up. And you get some perfection mixed in your koinonia. This after today after church, there is what is called the Teacher Connect. And that is where the teachers, Wednesday night and Sunday morning, come together for half an hour after church. And we got some brand new curriculum. It's on the computer. It's online. We got DVD. We got the whole awesome thing. But, and they're all ladies, except for me. I'm going to show them how to run the computer thing. I'm going to get out of there. But it could be fine if I was there. But anyway, when these ladies come together, the ladies of God, and they come with a focus on teaching your children that are downstairs right now about the life in the plan of God that they can participate in. It is the people of God working the plan of God, and the presence of God will be right down there in that room. That is the coolest thing on the planet, folks, because we were made for that. And so many of us, me for 29 years, was walking around without it, and I was harmed because of it. Amen? Amen? Thank you very much. All right, here we go. There are perks with the plan. All right, here we go. Power. I always love talking about power. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Do you believe it? Life and godliness. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Have you got life and godliness? He says, a lot of that power we haven't unpacked yet. But you got it, you just don't know how to use it. So he says, through our knowledge. The more you know about Him, the more you can unpack of that power and provision by His name. Am I going too quick for you?
We're going to preach.
Thank you, Tommy. I was expecting that a little bit earlier. I know it's that bow tie probably choking on your neck. Okay. 3A's. There we go. All right. By his own glory and goodness, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate, koinonia, in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. See, the plan of God affords opportunity for the presence of God. And I'm wondering if you have that in your life. Or are you just playing games? Just lying? Doing your own thing? You don't really care about the presence of God. See, there are some of you in this room that really are playing games. And you don't care about the presence of God. Just trying to get through the service. Get me out of here. Give me some lunch. I don't care. And realistically, that's okay. Jesus has a plan for you down the road. It might not be very good. It might be eternity without him. But you know what? He'll say, excuse my ignorance. What is the date today? April 17th, 2016. I invited you to become a partner in my kingdom. And you're too busy playing games. And it's too late now. See, we make light of the opportunities that God gives us to enter into his plan, become part of his people, and experience his presence. Like, that's going to be always available. My father died of asthma. And it was in Central Valley, up in kind of by Modesto. And up there they have air quality warnings. They say air quality is bad today. If you've got asthma, you got something like that, don't go outside. Well, he had asthma, and he went outside. And he passed out. I heard my wife tell the story. My mom had replayed that, that he was struggling. They were in a room, and he was struggling breathing. So he went outside to try to catch his breath, and she saw him collapse, and he never regained consciousness. There's people out there say, I'll have time to get on with the Lord and get on with his plan. Sometimes you don't. Bus comes, you could be dead in a second. Calamity comes. Bible says, don't make light of the sacrifice of my son hung on a cross for you. Because there will be no more sacrifice for sin. Sorry, that was no extra charge. A little on the side there. All right. We okay? Tommy, we okay with that? I was just rolling on that. I was rolling. All right, here we go. Through these, let me just say, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us a very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape that corruption that you're currently living in. God calls us together to do something. God calls us together to be something. Something new, something big. When I met my wife, he made us something new, that we could do something new together. When Pastor Scott met Lisa, he called them together so that they could be something new and do something new together. And as God calls you and as God reveals you, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He calls us together in ecclesia to have koinonia so that we can do something new. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. You know him as your Savior going, yeah, hook me up, God. Lady came up to me 2 weeks ago and said, I want to be a 10%er. What can I do? Girl, you just keep on walking this way. You know what? Today she's going to the Teacher Connect. Bam! That easy. Get hooked up on the plan of God. Amen? We are transformed by the supernatural, mighty, incredible power of God. And that power is intermixed with our knowledge of him so that we can unpack a brand new plan for our lives, that we can get on track with him. The more we know, the more we can experience him. God gives us a supernatural experience that we can indeed walk into the very throne room of God, be transformed. This is something that Jesus missed as he walked along the roads in this planet. He surrendered a unity with his Father, a presence. He prays it. He says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. And man, I'm walking on this dirty, dusty planet surrounded by all this corruption, and I am yearning and I am dying inside for that connection that we have. And we are created for that connection. You can get high, you can chase women, you can gamble, you can do all kinds of stuff. It will never fill the gap that God has intended to fill. Jesus makes opportunity. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus makes opportunity for a fullness and a wholeness in your life. Presence of God. Question for you today is, do you have it? People of God working the plan of God experience the presence of God. Are you doing it? Do you even want it? Or is this just a waste of your time? I hope it's not. Last thing, and then we'll get you some lunch. People of God are called to work God's plan. In all my prayers for you, Philippians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership, your koinonia in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is writing to a church in Philippi. He's saying, man, you guys are so good. He said, man, your koinonia, your assembly, your grouping, your participation has always had the right focus. From the first day, man, you guys were focused on the Lord. You were focused on his message. You were focused on the work that he gave you to do. And I just celebrate what God has done in you. You are the people of God and you are working the plan of God. And because you're working that plan, he is amongst you. When God's people get in his plan, they get into the Lord. They were doing it in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 4, and I'm about done with this. It said, Peter and John were preaching in the temple, and they got arrested the second time. They got arrested, and they're saying, man, you guys got to shut up. And they let them loose, and they went to where they were gathered and said, we got busted by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're telling us not to preach, but we're going to go ahead and preach. Amen? And so this is their prayer in that house. The people of God working the plan of God. And now, Lord, take note of their threats. So they said, we're going to whip you. We're going to beat you down. Take note of their threats and grant your bondservants, your slaves, may speak your word with all confidence. Lord, let us be your people and let us work your plan, Lord. With all your confidence, while you extend your hand, Lord, that you would have your presence be among us, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through your name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Come on, enemy. Jesus is going to make his church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. There is a pushing back that happens in the church, in the ecclesia, in the koinonia. See, they were working the plan of God in Jerusalem, and Jesus showed up. They were working the plan of God in Philippi, and Jesus showed up. And because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we can work the plan of God in City Heights. And Jesus will show up. Ecclesia. Koinonia, God's people working God's plan in God's presence. Come on up, Lisa. Do you have it? Many of you are saying, oh, yeah, yeah, yes. Whew. Tommy, you got that?
I got it.
Many of you are saying, oh, I got it. I know what it's like to be without it. I know what it's like not to soar. I know what it's like to struggle in my life. I know what it's like to be my own God. I know what it's like to set my own schedule. I know what it's like to play games with God. And I have changed my ways, and I have recognized that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. You are my boss. I submit to you. You are the head of my life. I grow up into you that I can reach maturity and fullness with your plan in my life, and I can walk in your presence day in and day out. Some of you are going, oh, yes, 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 yes.